Hello, and welcome to Outnumbered, the podcast. I'm Audrey.
And I'm Bonnie. We are experienced moms to a combined total of 19 children.
In our weekly episodes, we explore relatable topics using our perspectives of humor and chaos.
Tune in for advice and encouragement to gain more joy in your parenting journey. Hello, friends. Welcome back to another episode. Today, we are doing another segment in our series on what I would tell a younger me, which we just love to talk about because our poor younger selves, they were just doing the best they knew how. And we're sharing these thoughts in hopes that it will help some of you who are a little bit earlier on your path of motherhood, just relax a little bit and know that you are doing an amazing job. So today we're addressing the ever-present frustration of having a messy house.
Yes. And we're in this series, we're trying not to be and say things that would have annoyed us when we were our younger selves. Like, we don't want to make ourselves, right, like, our younger selves slap us.
Yeah.
Right. You'll miss it. Yeah. As if you're going to miss a messy house, right?
Yeah. Right. Right. Not super helpful. Even though you might get there, you might get to the point where you miss having little socks strewn about everywhere, but that's not helpful while you're in the middle of it. We're going to give you some helpful tips. So.
I don't know that I'll ever miss dirty underwear on the floor.
No, never that.
So speaking of messy houses, yesterday we had some company, we had some overnight company, and I was working very hard to, you know, keep the house, the mess contained in progress as it happened. And so finally I was like finally getting to sit down at a meal after a meal. We were kind of just finally getting a moment to breathe and discuss. And I was like, the house is kind of, you know, clean. And then my half naked 2-year-old toddles into the room and says, "Mom, I need your help." And here the toilet was overflowing, and then into the kitchen, the bathroom. And he'd had, so I just, like, you know, in preparation for overnight company, went and got a couple little, you know, different things, like a new toilet paper holder that stands on the floor. And apparently he was like really attracted to it and found it really fun just to reel that toilet paper off of there and into the toilet. And it was very fun. And then, So here I am on my hands and knees with the company and my half-naked toddler running amok and trying to get the toilet mess stopped up and from going in the kitchen too far. And yeah, good times.
So. Little stinker. And they're just so cute. And yet poop running all over your floor or toilet water just in general. Yeah. Less cute.
Yeah.
Oh, good times. Yeah, kids just... This is a surprise to exactly no one, but kids are very messy, right? They just leave stuff everywhere. So we are going to address that today. But to start off, to just say and remind you, it is completely normal. It's just like, are you familiar with the book Everyone Poops, Audrey? It's a great one for potty trainers because it just reminds everybody this is totally normal as they're learning how to do this weird function on the toilet, you know? It's totally normal. And just like everyone has to go number two, everyone who has children has messes. Some of us hide it better than others. And that may or may not be a good thing. We're going to talk about that. But we're just going to offer a little bit of hope in case you are just going nutso with the mess.
All right. So we are dividing this episode into three parts. Prevention, how to, you know, stop the mess before it starts. And purpose. So why? What's the purpose of your house and the why behind the mess, and maybe even the why behind why you want a clean house or want it cleaner? And then peace. So accepting your wife, your life the way it is and loving it, and or at least making peace with the mess while it's in progress.
Right. I think that our homes are so important to us, especially as women, as moms. We like to think that it reflects on who we are as a person or as a mother, when really it just reflects on, you know, how often we make our children clean up their messes, right? Really doesn't reflect anything on us personally. But it helps to break things down and try to understand where the mess is coming from and what it does mean, right? And so we kind of broke it down into this simple phrase. A mess happens when someone has used something and left it somewhere. So in order to fix it, we got to address one or multiple of those things.
Right. So first off, we just start with gratitude. Let's be thankful. One, we have a house, right? We talk a lot on this podcast about starting with believable statements. So I'm thankful I have a house. That's a good place to start, right? And then number two, we have people in it that we love. And Yes, that's, you like stop there, not what they're doing with the house, but there are people, there are other people in the house, so we're not alone and we're thankful for them. And then number three, another thing we can be grateful for is, and a believable statement is that we have lives, blessed lives that let us purchase and use wonderful things. So, we are very blessed. So those are three. Gratitude. I love starting with gratitude. Thankfulness is a good place to start. And those are really three super believable statements that when we start from the position of gratitude, then we're putting ourselves in the proper place mentally to then we're in a good place to deal with the mess. Good thoughts.
Yes, absolutely. You know, anytime I have a struggle with a person in my life, I have to go back to that gratitude because it's so easy to get irritated at the things that they do when you kind of gloss over the fact that they exist, right? Like, oh, my husband drives me so crazy. But I have this wonderful husband who sometimes drives me crazy. Totally normal. You know, I have this wonderful child who leaves messes everywhere he goes. He is such a beautiful soul. I'm so grateful for him, right? Great place to start. I love that. And so going back to these three things that we can address, in order to avoid the mess, we either have to address the person making the mess, which in all honesty is sometimes us, right? We know that.
Yes.
Or the thing that they're leaving out, or multiple things, or where they're leaving it, right? Address one or multiple of those things. Considering the fact that we probably won't be getting rid of the people that are leaving the mess, right? We're probably just not going to sell the husband or the kids, and it's probably time. But it might be time for some new training, right? So just addressing the person. Maybe it's just time for a new chore chart or to sit down and say, guys, has anyone noticed that we kind of are tripping over stuff all the time? How can we make that better? How does it feel when our house is picked up? What are your thoughts? Just kind of brainstorm a little bit.
All right. So then when we've like gotten ourselves in a place where we're thankful for the people, then we can start addressing the things. Really, that's the easiest to kind of to deal with and manipulate into a better condition, maybe more trainable than the people. So, oh man, we have some really good episodes about stuff. And we've talked about this in, we have two specific episodes targeted at systems and organization and planning. So we'll link those in our show notes because those, we dive really deep into stuff. But the best place to start is just get rid of stuff. So a very common organizing house cleaning person uses a phrase, does it spark joy? So does it spark joy? If it's not, like, you are so unhappy that it is out that you can't even find the joy of having it, then it's not sparking joy anymore. And that's a good place to start. Get rid of it, donate it. Someone else can use it. Open yourself and your house up for other things. And also, I am so aware that when I get rid of physical clutter, I get rid of mental clutter. So as I said in our episode, I think it was with Chanel, that everything represents a decision. And what really is at the bottom of it for me is decision fatigue. So I have so much freer mental space when I have less physical stuff.
Yes. Another phrase that I love, I was taught this as a child, was everything you own owns a piece of you. Which is really alarming to think about. Every time you buy a new top, then it requires some time to wash and to hang and maybe to iron and even to just decide whether you want to wear that or not. So every little thing that we own is going to take away a piece of who we are. And sometimes it gives more than it takes, right? Like my children's socks, for example, don't particularly spark joy, but they give enough to my life. They make my children safe and comfortable. Warm and comfortable, I guess, not really safe, but anyway, enough so that I keep them in my life, right? So you have to just make that decision. Does this thing give back more than it takes? And am I willing to give away a little piece of myself in order to keep this thing around? Maybe not, right? Love that. So finally, we can address the issue of where. So if things are being left out, it might be just that there's not really a home for them, right? Is there a place for everything and everything in its place? Maybe not. I struggle with that sometimes. Everyone's home layout is so different. And as your family grows and changes, you will need slightly different needs from your home than maybe 5 years ago. So it's this constant addressing of the needs and how your house can fulfill that and maybe moving things around, changing things a little bit. An example that we just went through this week was we have a dedicated school room for our kids to be homeschooled in. It's just an easy place to keep all our books and supplies and a big table. But it was also where we were storing toys. And it got to be so chaotic because the little ones would be playing while the big ones were doing school. And it was just not working out. And so we decided to dedicate another room that had a different purpose for just toys. And it was a little bit hard for me because I'd already wrapped my head around it being this music room that we were going to, but it just didn't work out for our current phase of life. So moving that over all of a sudden meant that there was this much better dedicated place for these toys that tended to end up all over the home or underfoot while we were trying to do serious schoolwork. So just be flexible, right? Be willing to change things up if necessary to best suit your stage of life right now.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome. We just went through a little bit of reorganization too. And one thing was I attacked the kitchen and there was a problem like where we were keeping the cups. And so I'll link it in the show notes. I actually got from Magnolia, I got, I think it's called Cups for Days. And you just hang the cups all up on the wall. And it's just so much a better solution for us right now than the other solution that we sort of kind of had. It just wasn't working anymore. But what I love to see is when you make a change organizationally, you really can see the mental effect that it has on kids. Like adults were like, oh my goodness, I just went over here for a cup. And now the cups are over here. And this is like, you know, we're like drudgery. And kids are like, oh, Mom, look, everybody who comes in the house, look, the cups are over here on the wall now. And it's like the most exciting thing ever. And all you did was like move the cups like 2 feet, you know? And you can really see the mental effect that it has on kids.
I think you've been spying on us this week because every time we move something over to this room, my kids are like, best day ever. The dollhouse is here now. It's going to be so great. We can play right here. This is magical. Like, it's really fun to see them adjust. And sometimes there's a little bit of kickback, honestly. You know, sometimes we rearrange kids' rooms and they don't like that. Like, oh, I didn't want to share with this person or I didn't want to put my stuff here. But you do the best you can for the space you have, and hopefully you can get more enthusiasm than pushback.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I mentioned it several times, and I'm going to find it and link it for the show notes of this episode. But there is an article that Joanna Gaines wrote about her transition from kind of almost cleaning up as her kids were playing with stuff to realizing that everything needed a place and making a dedicated place where the kids could have their own thing and make their own mess.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's definitely something I would tell a younger me. Stop cleaning up as they're playing. Just let them make the darn mess and come back later. It's not worth it.
Yes. One thing I was thinking of what I would tell a younger me about this is I used to be so animated about the condition of my kids' bedrooms. And that was like a lot of stress to me because I wanted them to keep their bedrooms up to my standard. And then later in life, I have transitioned to like their bedroom is their place to practice their homekeeping. And so I kind of step out. I can shut the door and walk past without seeing the mess. And I think it would have been better both for them and for me, the younger me, not to be stressing so much about the condition of their bedroom, but let that be the place where they get to build their own homekeeping skills.
Yes, that's a beautiful thought. I mean, barring significant health hazards, I do go in there occasionally and make sure no one's left a ham sandwich under the bed.
I know.
But and for children who share bedrooms, that's a real life skill to learn how to cooperate in keeping a space clean. I mean, I don't think I really learned that until college. There was so much friction, like, oh, you leave your stuff out and you never take out the garbage. And I was actually the person they were saying about. But, you know, to learn that skill early on, that's beautiful, right? And they're not going to get it right for a long time. And that's okay. And maybe their level of okay is way below your level of okay. And you might just have to learn to be okay with that.
Yeah. Okay. Purpose. We're going to move on to the second part is what is the purpose of our house and why is the mess there? So if we stop and we go all the way back to the moment about what drew us to our home, is it the layout? Is it the neighborhood? Is it the aesthetic? Is it the feel? Can, you know, potential for family parties, get togethers, game nights, tickle fights? What is the emotion behind your home? Like, why did you originally choose your home? And even thinking about this, back to when we spent a lot of the years in our younger parenting years renting. We hadn't bought a home yet. So maybe not like our ideal forever home, but just thinking about what was it about those things that added the emotion or the home part of home to it for us.
Yes, that's a beautiful way to again, find some gratitude for your home, right? Especially if you've been in your home for a long time and maybe your family's even grown more than you thought it was going to in this home. Maybe you're feeling a little cramped, or maybe whatever, things have changed, your needs have changed, and you're starting to feel a little bit irritated with your space, right? To go back to that initial feeling. This is funny because every April is the time that I'm the most grateful for my house, because we saw the property in April. We walked through in April, and it's just a beautiful time of season here in Arizona. Everything is in bloom. It's just mildly warm. The heat hasn't hit, but it's not cold at all. It's just gorgeous. So every time April rolls around, I'm like, oh, I have all this outpouring of gratitude for my home, because that's when I fell in love with it, right? So maybe you can channel some of those thoughts back in so that we can stop getting so caught up in everything that's wrong, right? Especially when we start looking at the mess and, oh, I was going to do that one thing to decorate that one wall and I never did. And oh, look how awful it looks. You know, just that rabbit hole is not good. In the end, we need to remember that a home is a couple of things, right? It's a shelter for the people we love. Super crucial. Like, you die without shelter. And it's a place where our memories are stored, you know, stored in our brain, but where they're created. And that's why leaving a home, moving, or going back to visit an old home is so emotional, because it brings back this flood of memories and special times you have with your family. And what a privilege that you're giving this space to house your family's memory. You know, you just have to think about that a little bit more emotional side of things, so you're not so irritated.
Yes, that is such a good example about thinking about going back to your childhood home or a home, you know, previous home, and what emotions does it invoke? And then, like, extrapolate that forward. What emotion do you want your kids to have when they come back to their childhood family home? Maybe it can spur you to, like, write a purposeful statement or a theme or a motto for your home. Hang it where you can see it. Hang it where everybody can see it. And then, instead of being consistently critical of your home, you can just, like, focus on that statement, and you all can focus on that statement. I know, going back to the rental homes that we lived in, I did have to learn not to be focusing on the things that I couldn't control about those homes, because there's a lot you can't do with a rental home. And maybe I've gone overboard in our home that we have owned, because I'm in control and I can make changes and I love things. Hey, this wall, take it down, you know, or whatever. but just learning, my younger self, learning to not focus on the things I couldn't control, but the atmosphere, the feeling, the aesthetic, the love, the emotions being generated in the home, that is definitely something we can and should control.
Right. Isn't that the moral of life, right? Is to focus on the things that you can control and on the purpose instead of the circumstances all the time, right? Because we're all irritated by our circumstances. There's all kinds of things we can't change that we could focus on and just be angry about all the time. So we came up with a couple different purpose-driven statements that we want to just suggest to you guys. And again, this isn't meant to add stress. You don't have to write this up in a big pretty poster and put it on your wall, but just think about it and maybe come up with one on your own so you know what the purpose of your home is. One is, my home is a safe and pleasant place where my children learn, laugh, and love. Isn't that beautiful? Safe and pleasant.
Yes.
We didn't say pristine. We didn't say perfectly decorated, right?
Clean.
We didn't even say clean. That's right. No. Right. Just pleasant. another one is, our home is a haven from evil and harm where our family grows in peace and friendship. Right? Think about those really essential characteristics of your home and your family that you want to keep and grab on too tight and let go of the rest. And maybe having a clean home is really important to you, but what exactly does that look like? Does it just look like stuff picked up off the floor? Like, what's a realistic expectation that you could incorporate then? We have a pleasant and tidy home, right? I like the word tidy. That seems like things are relatively put away, but baseboards might not be washed. You know, like, give yourself a little bit of grace there.
Yeah. You know, one thought I was struggling with a while back was, I was looking at my messy house and I was having this thought, I don't want my kids to think that I am okay. Like, mom was okay with this level of a messy house. Like, I don't want them to, when they're making their own homes, think like, well, you know, mom's standard, it was pretty low. And so, but I want them, instead of focusing on what they may or may not think about the cleanliness level of the house, I think it would be better for me to focus on what they feel, what home is, what it means to them. And that be something that they would want to replicate in their own homes? Because, you know, the cleanliness level they may or may not be okay with or want to replicate, or maybe marry a spouse who has a different standard or level of clean, you know, that'll all come into play. But definitely, I think that a home that's safe, pleasant, you know, free from evil, harm, haven, those kind of things are definitely something that we can inspire our children to replicate in their own homes.
I'm really glad you brought up the feelings, because I like to think of my threshold of cleanliness as kind of like a bell curve, right? Like when it's really messy, I am so angry. And also when it's really clean, I'm angry because I've had to yell for like half an hour to get everybody, let's be honest, a couple hours to get everybody cleaning. Whereas I think the perfect compromise is somewhere in the middle, maybe about 80% clean, where I'm like maximum happiness potential without forcing us to all get super duper scrubby clean. Does that make sense? Right? Yeah. Like if I just work to this point of my bell curve, then I can maximize my happiness and everyone else's, because you know everyone's happier when the house is relatively picked up without going so crazy that then the feelings are altered in my home, right? Could I have a pristine house? Sure. And everyone would hate me because we would all be walking around doing mom's bidding all every second of every day. Don't put that there. Don't put that there. And that is not how I choose to live. That's not the feeling I want to maintain in my home. And so you get to decide what your threshold is and where you can match up your maximum happiness with just the perfect threshold of cleanliness. Hope that makes sense.
Yes. Yes. I'm kind of going off script here, but I spent 2 days last week deep cleaning. And my thought going into it was, I'm doing this for me because I don't like this. And so, I just spent 2 days I didn't ask anybody to help me. I didn't require anybody to, you know, scrub baseboards along with me. I was just having this afterwards. I was calling it referring to it as my cleaning rampage.
Mom's on the rampage. Don't bug her.
Shh, everybody. Shh.
Don't talk to her. She's going to ask you to help.
I went into it with the thought is like, I'm doing this for me. Like I didn't have the thought I'm doing this for my kids and they should be grateful. And you know, like they should try to keep it clean after this. It was just like, I'm just doing this for me. I know that I'm the one that needs this cleaned, this floor mopped. My kids don't care. In fact, probably, you know, they'll track mud on it again before it's even dry, but this is for me. It's going to make me feel better. And I think that was something maybe I could have whispered in my younger self's ear is do it for you. So then when I'm doing it for me, I'm not focused on my kids' lack of gratitude or lack of help or anything. And I'm more focused on like, I want to feel good about cleaning. So I'm not going to be yelling at kids to be helping me clean because that's not going to make me feel good about it being clean afterwards. And you know what happened, interestingly enough, was a couple of my kids wandered in and they're like, oh, cool, Mom, what can I do? And so I was like, you know what? The top of the refrigerator hasn't been touched for about 6 months. You want to tackle it? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Have at it. You can join my cleaning rampage.
Yeah, and it's so much healthier than running around going, oh, these dirty, rotten kids, socks here and half-eaten apple here. It's just, you're like Snow White whistling while you work and going about your day. Your kerchief tied around your head. So much more pleasant.
Oh, all right. Now let's think about the purpose of our things. Most of us can probably admit we own way too many things, too much stuff. But there is a lot that improves our way of life. So like we don't have to have, I think when I walk down that aisle at Walmart that has the, what is it called? The As Seen on TV. So I don't have a television. So it's very interesting for me to walk down that aisle because I played this little game like I've never seen this before. So here is a bunch of stuff that I didn't know I needed. And guess what? I still don't need it just because I've seen it. It's just my little way of finding a happy medium between too much stuff and not enough. Or, you know, back in the dark age of scrubbing things on my hands and knees because the mop hadn't been invented yet or something.
Yes. I want to go back to gratitude and appreciation, right? We have these incredible inventions that make our lives so much better than like the dark ages, as you say, or even just 100 years ago. We have computer mouses mice, whatever. We have ballpoint pens. We have socks, foot gloves, if you listen to our episode with Chanel. We have amazing, incredible clothes that fit our bodies. Like, so many amazing things. And yet, sometimes it gets to be too much, right? So you can start there. You can start from gratitude. Oh my goodness, I'm so grateful that I have this cute little baby onesie that ended up balled up in the corner of the house. Look how cute my baby is. I'm going to miss this someday. Throw it in the wash, right? To go about doing these things out of gratitude. My kids love to make their paper messes. They get out scissors and just cut little stuff everywhere. And there's just paper scraps everywhere. And it used to just drive me crazy. And I'm like, I love that my children choose to sit and make a paper craft instead of staring at a screen or fighting or whatever else. And it doesn't mean that it's necessarily fun to clean up, but I can approach it more from this attitude of gratitude. And that it all has a purpose, right? Yeah. If the purposes start to seem a little redundant, like you have too many things for one purpose, or, you know, okay, your kids actually don't use craft supplies and you have a whole closet full, then maybe it's time to purge.
Right, right. One thing I was thinking here that I wish I would have told my younger self is give your children permission, authority, and responsibility to throw things away. And get rid of things. When mom is the only person who can make the ultimate decision that, you know, this toy is broken and needs to be thrown away. Oh my goodness. Because that, again, is going back to decision fatigue. It's so many decisions you have to make. When if a kid can just, you know, pick up a light bulb, or in our house, it's batteries. Like, you take a battery out, for heaven's sakes, get rid of it if it's not working. Because just give them the authority, the permission, the responsibility of throwing things away. Your toy is broken. Oh, that's too bad. Throw it away. Please don't make me pick it up from under the couch in 3 months and throw it away for you. It doesn't have a leg. It doesn't have a wheel. You can't use it.
Please. Right. One side note about this is, if you're struggling with this, a child that doesn't like to let go, we've found a lot of success in giving them containers to fit their things. Like, you have this box for your toys, craft supplies, dolls, whatever it is that seems to overrun everything. When it doesn't fit, you get rid of it. So we've done this with finished craft projects, actually. Everybody wants to keep all their paintings and all their clay creations and everything. It's like, well, this is the little teeny box you get. If it doesn't fit, you get to go through and pull out something that you're maybe less proud of and get rid of that. That is such an empowering thing you can give your children, the capacity to evaluate between possessions and decide what is no longer serving them and what can get passed on. And then they don't become hoarders.
Oh, hopefully. All right. And the final step is peace. How can we be more at peace with our messy houses? So, because there is going to be a mess. And I would tell a younger me, not that you're going to miss it someday, but it is going to be over someday. Mm.
Yeah. Just that concept, I think, can be really huge. Sometimes I go to my mom's house, who, you know, no one lives there except my mom, and no little kids and no toddlers making messes until we come over, of course. And I walk in, and sometimes I just think, oh, it'd be so nice if my house always looked like this. And then I like to remind myself, but it does always look like this. And she gets great joy in seeing the kids come over and play with old toys and bring noise. And it is a great thing to remember. But if it's bringing you stress to remember that, then don't worry about that. So it's also important to remember that there are a handful of times when your house will be messier than others. So you can ask yourself if any of these apply to you. It's kind of like a survival time for a messy house. And it's time to just chill a little bit, right? Things like, you have children under the age of 6. That is going to be a messy phase. And I know it sounds like it's going to take forever because, you know, Audrey and I have been in that phase for like 20 years, but it won't last forever. It won't. So kids under 6 means your house is going to be messier than many people. If you don't have any older helpers, and I'm talking like 12 and up. Yeah, kids 8, 9, 10 can help as well. But the teenagers are the ones that can really be helpful. And if they're not around, or all of a sudden you have them, but they're busy with work and school, then you also might see an increase in mess, right? Maybe you're a solo parent, maybe full-time, maybe just part-time. Your husband travels a lot. That is going to see an increase of mess as well. Or you have a job, or you're just extra busy. You're helping with a community service thing or something, or any other of those survival times that we talk about, a move, lots of traveling, a new baby, any of those things, a sickness, illness, somebody's in the hospital. Just expect life to get a little bit crazier, a little bit messier, totally normal.
Yes. And that's where the peace comes from, is letting it go. Yeah. So if you're in one of those times, how can you let it go? How can you take the pressure off so that you can feel more of that peace and less of just the weight of the mess? Can your husband help you? If he doesn't like to clean or doesn't care if it's clean, can he take the kids in the evening so you can clean? Can you pay some cleaners? Can you hire a neighborhood team to come help clean or take care of kids so you can clean? Can the kids spend more time outside so you can keep things tidier inside? Can you have one thing that I've done is the 4 o'clock afternoon chore time that really did save my sanity, so that I knew that, yes, it's a mess. Absolutely, it is a mess. And at 4 o'clock, there is going to be a time when we're all going to pitch in, and we're all going to make it clean again. So where can you find that peace?
Yeah, as a homeschooler, that's especially important. Or if you're a public schooler whose kids are home in the summer, right? You got 3 months of extra messes. How are you going to carve out a way for you to find your sanity? You know, and even if you don't have the means to hire someone to help, what about just swapping play dates, right? You call up a friend and say, hey, can I send my kids over for 2 hours while I scrub this floor because it's so gross? And then you send yours over. I'll keep them outside, of course, because now my house is clean. And you could do the same to yours, you know, or swap days. There's a lot of options if you get creative, right? Or my other alternative is maybe the only shift you need to make is a mental one. Maybe you are giving yourself such a hard time because in your mind, things are not as they should be. This is too messy. This is too chaotic. There's too much stuff. It's just gross. You know, what kind of thoughts are you saying to yourself about your messy house? And sometimes this is a real shift if you haven't started listening to your thoughts in the past, but you can make minor shifts. So for example, this is so gross. I like to tell myself that a lot. I walk into the bathroom. Ugh. This is so gross, the bathroom that only the kids use, right? Oh, what are you thinking? Maybe I can switch that to, it's normal. The kids leave chewed up gum on the floor and dirty underwear and, you know, someone spilled their cup. And this is normal. This is what kids do, right? Or no one helps out around here to, oh, it's time to revamp our family chore chart because it looks like kids are forgetting their responsibilities. Or I hate crafts because they're so messy. These are all thoughts that have come out of my head. You think I'm being judgmental, to something like, I love that my kids play so creatively. I'm going to give them another 20 minutes and then we'll clean up so that I don't have to look at this all day long, right? Just these minor shifts that help you get to a place of peace and acceptance of your wonderful life while also making progress to get to a place that's a little bit less stressful.
Yes, yes. Those are good shift and replacement thoughts to use. We did want to say that you need to be watchful for thoughts that are like destructive. Like, it shouldn't be this way, or something is wrong with me or my kids. Mm-hmm. If you have kids, it's normal that there's a mess. It really is. Everything's just exactly happening. If you have a mess, that's the way it's supposed to be. And so maybe go back to those thoughts that we shared at the beginning, but more believable thoughts. I have a house, I have a family, and start there. But watch out for those, like those destructive thoughts that make you like wanting to get rid of the people instead of the stuff. Like that is something just to be cautious of.
Yes. Love that. Totally. And then finally we suggest, like I kind of mentioned before, determining a tolerance level. And this is probably best done with your spouse with you or your kids involved as well. And just say, guys, we've noticed that we love the way our house feels when it's clean, right? And it's a little bit harder when there's stuff on the floor. Maybe we can get to a place where we determine that it's an appropriate level of clean. And if it falls below this, that we do a quick pickup, right? And this is a little bit hard to determine because it's not, you know, like, well, when the mess reaches 3 feet high, we start cleaning, you know? Waste level, start getting rid of some. But sometimes it's just kind of you're eyeballing it, or you notice your own stress level raising. So I personally have thought about this a lot, and I've noticed that for us, if the house gets to a point where it's longer than 15 minutes to pick it up, right? So if company was coming in 15 minutes, I said, everybody pick up now. And we all ran and picked up and there was still mess, then that would be too messy, right? So again, it's very subjective and it's kind of hard to define, but you probably already know, right? It's probably okay to have like 3 or 4 dress ups on the floor, but when the entire bin is dumped out, you're like, oh, you know, or it's okay to have the Legos and the dolls out, but when the Legos and the dolls and the this and the you know, and 15 types of toys are out, then it's too much. So just kind of determine that for yourself, define it, communicate it to your family and say, doesn't that feel so much better when we keep it to this point? And then you just kind of have to watch for it. Like, uh-oh, we got three or four toys out. Let's pick them up until we only have one out. And then that's so much easier to maintain.
Yeah, that is such a good baseline. 15 minutes from a clean house. Well, it's a great one for us because we live about 15 minutes away from town. So if someone is coming out, they would give it, hey, can I pop by? Yep.
We got that time.
We've put in place a couple of things that are kind of going back to like the first part that we're saying, like the prevention, but some hard and fast rules that we do so that, like, this is my tolerance level. So like one thing that you were mentioning was one kind of toy out at a time. That is my tolerance level. I can handle one kind of toy all over the floor. I can't handle four. You can't have the Lincoln Logs and the Barbies and the toy cars and the trains, just one. But you have to communicate to your kids. You can't just think that they know that you have another rule we have is no food upstairs, no food or shoes upstairs. So if they don't know that, you can't enforce that rule.
Yeah.
And then, like I mentioned before, just we have an afternoon chore time. So if you decide on like one or two times a day, everyone pitches in to get it back to your baseline level on like afternoon chore time. And, you know, we have an episode all about kids and chores where we really kind of dive into what specifically we expect for certain ages and how we help them learn that and do that. So you can go listen to that episode too. But just to get it back, like I said, that was just a really big stress release for me to know that both after breakfast and at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, everything's going to be back to a state where I can breathe easy. And the rest of the time I can let it go a little bit more. So working toward that piece.
Yes. Love that. You know, finally, we want to wrap up with this thought, you guys. The state of your house has nothing to do with your ability as a mother, your performance as a mother. We talk about this a lot and we've talked about it quite a bit in episode 160, talking about success as a mom. When we mix those two up, we run the risk of really getting down on ourselves because our purpose is to mother or father. If you happen to be one of our dads listening, your purpose is to connect and create a relationship with your child. Now you also have to care for them, which involves shoes and socks and breakfast and all these household related tasks. But when we get off that focus of mothering being a relationship and think that it means how clean our house is, then we're in some dangerous waters. Please remember that your children need you for you. They don't need you as a cleaning lady.
That is a very nice way to say what I had to say to my younger self, which was chill, babe. you can't control the mess, but you can control the way that you react and respond to the mess. And so that's what I would tell my younger self. Work on that second part of the control and just let go of the first one.
Totally. You guys got this. You're doing a great job. We'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening, friends. Click the link in the show notes to subscribe to our email and never miss another episode.
Show us some love by leaving a review on iTunes or sharing the podcast with a friend. Thanks for all your support. We'll talk to you next week.